Hi there.
Okay, Mayor Janice Peters.
Here.
Vice Mayor Betty Windholz. Absent.
She will be here late. She had another responsibility. She'll be here about 7.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Noah Smuckler. Councilmember Carla Borchert. And Councilmember Rick Grantham.
No.
President Robert Enns.
Here.
Vice President Bud McHale.
Here.
Hal Phones, Director. Absent. Michael Foster, Director. Shirley Lyon, Director. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. I have a couple of short announcements before we start. First of all, I'd like to introduce Lewis Bookins. He's taking Bonnie's position. And Lewis, you've had a chance to meet with the city briefly, and any comments?
I just I enjoyed when I met with Susan and her staff and was well greeted and look forward to building just a real strong relationship in that.
Okay, thank you. Also, I'd like to point out that Bonnie's retiring. Her last day will be the 10th of June. And when I first got on the board, Bonnie was like a one-person CSD, one desk in the fire department, and we've come a long ways under her tutelage, and I'd just want to say thank you to Bonnie. I think she's escaped and staying home tonight and letting Lewis do this on his own. So, Bonnie, thank you for your years of service to the district. I'd also like to point out that Bruce Ambo is home recovering from some time in the hospital, and he will not be here tonight. We want to send out our best regards and for a speedy recovery. And with that, any other announcements?
Just that because of that, we wanted to pull item A3 because that was Bruce's presentation. So we wanted to let people know that that's, if you're all agreeable, not going to be on the agenda.
Okay, then note that item A3 will be pulled. And as Mayor Peters said, that was really the area of Bruce's expertise. And
it's like rainwater catchment, gray water systems, and so on, and include demos, demonstrations, and abilities for people to try out stand-up paddle boards, kayaks, and other water plane vessels. It's free, again, very kid-friendly. This is an annual event that moves around the county as far as its location, so we're going to be on the south side of Morro Rock on June 20th, and it's going to be all day. We have a stage. It's going to be a beer and wine garden, and I will hand each director one of these flyers. I hope to see you out there. It should be fun.
I would also like to thank AGP for coming to Cayucas. I know we've tried to make it easier for them and meet in Morro Bay, but thank you for coming up here, and thanks to the Morro Bay Council for coming here. We enjoy hosting. With that, I'll open the floor to public comment. Welcome, Betty. No, there's a chair down there. There is.
Yeah, we got your name and everything. We just didn't think you'd be here to sign.
It's okay with us.
Okay, seeing no public comment, I'll close public comment. We'll go to the consent calendar. Again, item A3 has been pulled, and we would like to schedule a meeting. Cayucas has suggested the June 18th. If that suits everybody's, it would be a special meeting just to discuss the EIR.
That was June 18th?
June 18th, yes, about 2 weeks.
My initial feeling about that is it might be a little premature with Bruce being out. We certainly hope he gets back real soon, but I think he's going to need a little bit more time than that for you know, so we can be fair to you and give you some well thought out options. At least I'm not sure that would give us enough time.
Okay, and Rick, just for fun, would you tell us what your profession was?
What your profession? My profession? Which one? I've had a few.
No, you're a nursing
supervisor, right.
So anyway, I'm going to take your word for it.
Thanks. Yeah.
With that, let's just not set a date then, and we'll see how Bruce does. Mayor Peters, do you want to do the other items?
Okay. May I have a motion approving a 1, a 4, 5, and 6, please?
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
Okay. Cayucas, the motion is to approve items A1, 4, 5, and 6.
I would so move.
A second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimous. All right. Let's take item A2, Betty.
Thank you. It's really more of a comment than it is a question. This is our treatment plant report that we get quarterly. And last time we asked Mr. Keough if he would reduce the amount of repetition, and he has. And I just want to say thank you. I was wondering if it would be okay, Mr. Keough, if we could have these in numerical order, or could they kind of jump around date by date, or is it possible to get them in timeline fashion?
What you see is what I turn into regional board,
uh-huh.
And I tend to prioritize that report, so when they're looking at it, what you see in the beginning is probably a little bit more important than what you might see at the end.
Okay.
So I could certainly probably do that, but it's going to take a little time to pull that together.
If that's the meaning behind it, I can understand that, and then I can read it in that fashion, but I didn't understand that as I was reading it. So then that's not a concern for me. I would move approval of A2 if anyone else has any questions.
Second.
Discussion. I just wanted to ask Bruce also, in going through this, it seems like the most recent one, we're having more and more equipment breakdowns. Is this just normal because things are getting older and we're trying to spit and polish them together until we get the new plant, or is this just an unusual situation?
It's probably a little bit unusual, but it's probably not far off of the fact that the plant's getting older, and you know, you're seeing more and more components that we hadn't really had to attend to in the past or had major repairs. The influence sluice gate's a good example of that, that we're seeing corrosion, and it's just ending. It's at the end of its useful life, or nearing the end of its useful life. So you'll see, and you know, they say it always comes in threes. So hopefully, we'll have a little break for a while, and then we'll go through another rash of whatever pops up.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No.
At the last meeting, the boards had approved the development of a 5-year capital improvements plan to help us plan expenditures for the next 5 years as we kind of transition to the new treatment plant. We hired Cannon to do that job for us. What you're going to see tonight is a short presentation by Mr. Larry Kramer of Cannon that's going to walk you through a little bit of the methodology and some of the results we came up with. My report covers a few points, and I'd just like to go over those real quick. I think they did a good job overall of putting this process together. I think they used a little different approach than we'd done in the past by lumping it together by treatment process. So you kind of get an idea of what each process is costing you maintenance-wise. Some are more maintenance-intensive than other ones, as you see when you look at the breakdown on the spreadsheets and the tables that are in the report. I think an important point is that we tried to be conservative and realistic in this projection. We didn't try and use a crystal ball to say, hey, we're going to have a catastrophic failure here or there. If we lose a tank or we have some major equipment failure, we may be coming back to you for more funds as we go through that process. But certainly those you're going to be looking at, you know, between $100,000 and $1 million potentially when we get into those sorts of events. So you will certainly hear about it and have a chance to approve those funds. In the past, we have discussed what is or what is not a capital cost and what is a capital asset. Some of the larger items that you'll see in the spreadsheet and in the tables may actually be, from a traditional accounting standpoint, you would assume would be listed as a capital asset. Some of these things are simply repair of existing items, and the auditor would expense those out of the operation and maintenance budget. And I know that's been an item that we've had a lot of discussion on in the past. On comment five talks about the fact that for this year, I believe, the CIP calls for about $298,000 in expenditures for various items. The majority, actually all but $25,000 of that is in the proposed budget that's going to come in front of you guys later tonight. So there aren't a whole lot of surprises in here. And I think we did a good job of budgeting this year in 6601. One is equipment repair and maintenance. The other is outside equipment repair and maintenance. That gives us discretion to make those repairs that are limited in expense, generally under $5,000. So when you look at Table 2, I believe, in the Cannon report, you're going to see a list of items, projects that are above $5,000 and those that are below $5,000. In future budgeting preparations, we will highlight those projects that are over $5,000 because we simply can't suck them into the daily operations and maintenance expenses without giving up something somewhere else. So as we go through future budgets, we will attempt to highlight the special projects that you guys are going to have to approve. And with that, I think I'll turn it over to Larry Kramer from Cannon and let him walk through a few PowerPoint slides, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Okay. My presentation, back up a little bit. Presentation this evening is a brief overview of the study we did, and I'm hoping you all had a chance to look at the report a little bit and make yourself familiar with some of the tables that we created. But in the same light, if there's things that I'm going through that you want to ask a question on, by all means, just interrupt, and we'll address your question as we go along. So my presentation this evening is really going to go through a little bit of the background of how we created our estimates, a little bit of the methodology we use, and then a summary of the results, and then some of our highlighted findings. To reiterate, the purpose of this was to create a five-year expense report that would look at the next 5 years as you transition from where you are now into your new plant, keeping in mind that we need to keep this existing plant operating properly, meeting our permit requirements as we transition. Our goal was to look at all anticipated equipment expenses, each piece of equipment, and develop a reasonable strategy for each piece of equipment, for example, and I'll get into this in a little bit, that how many years of useful life were remaining on those. And the city's sewer rates were adjusted accordingly to pay for those depreciation rates as equipment's retired and you had to replace it. So that table, there was a couple tables that were developed in that report, and the staff took that report and created a maintenance database. So for the last 10 years, staff has done a great job at using that and building on that table and tracking all the costs that you've been spending on these different pieces of equipment. And I think you're all familiar with the 2007 report that was done by Carollo, where you went through early on in the process, you looked at the existing facility and did a pretty detailed analysis of how much repair work was needed to keep that existing plant alive, not just for the next 5 years, but for the next 25 years. And that had a price tag on it of a little over $11 million just for the equipment, and then there was another $4 million on top of that to actually do the project implementation if you were to go down that path of completely rehabbing your existing facility. Second, next bullet down, though, the decision was made to go with a different process than what you currently have now. And so the recommended alternative in that report was a shift from your current process. And that is an oxidation ditch with filtration and disinfection. So it's a little bit different process train than you have now. So that made our job and this effort a little bit different in that we know some of the facilities, the processes that you have in place are going to be retired in 5 years. But they still need to run for 5 years. So the methodology we used, we took the list from Boyle's report, the maintenance database from staff, compared that with the 2007 Corolla report, and came up with a master equipment list. From there, as Bruce mentioned earlier, we tried to categorize those into the different unit processes. So if you can see that list, I know it's really hard to read, but there's basically 9 different unit processes. You can pretty much lump all of the equipment in the plant into one of these processes. So the one I've highlighted there was just electrical distribution. You can see that's broken down, and you have a main electrical service center. You have a standby emergency generator. Each one's important factors. You know, is it a life safety issue? Will it, if this breaks, will you violate your permit for the environmental protection regulatory compliance? Or if a major pump were to fail, could you actually get sewage out of the collection system and through the plant? I've highlighted a couple of line items there. The first one is influence sluice gate. It's a gate at the beginning of your plant. If that were to fail shut, you would back up sewage into the collection system and have a spill and have a real mess on your hands. So that has a high importance rating. Chemical feed systems at your headworks. Those are pumping chemicals to help in the digestion process and the solids handling. If one of those feed pumps were to fail, the staff has more time to react to it. It's not a minute-by-minute issue. It's more of a week-by-week issue, and therefore it was rated low. So this is just an example of how we went through the process. So then, as I mentioned, we went through each piece line by line. I think there were about 100 or so, and did that analysis. And at the same time, looked at the repair history that was been done on it. So just as an example, I pulled your primary clarifiers. So as part of the upgrade project, your primary clarifiers won't be replaced. They'll be demolished. In deciding whether or not how much money we should budget for the next 5 years, we said, okay, well, what happened? What have we done in the past? Well, Bruce and his staff have said, well, we replaced, completely overhauled those in 2003 and 2004 at the expense of almost $100,000. And Bruce and his staff, with their knowledge and their understanding of the equipment and in constantly talking to the vendors that support these pieces of equipment, they believe, and I agree, that the last rehab was enough to probably get you another 5 years, and so we haven't budgeted anything for the next 5 years for those two pieces of equipment, other than the normal, you know, wear and tear on certain things. That's not to say that one couldn't fail. However, the likelihood is not high. This next slide is kind of what we were thinking as we developed dollar amounts for each piece of equipment over the 5 years. And we looked, like I said, we looked at the equipment history, and a lot of the systems, you know, may have 3 or 4 pumps, and to replace them, some of them are only $3,500, and some of the major pumps are a little bit less than $10,000 to do. So we kind of lumped a lot of the equipment into the top 3 categories of significant cost of greater than $10,000, and we'll get into those in a little bit. And there was one major one, and which was why we created this category of, we don't know enough about this asset to make a decision, and therefore we need more assessment done. In the back of your report is 4 or 5 pages of a table, which is all the equipment, and a summary line by line of each system, each unit process, and what our 5-year plan is for that asset. I don't want to go through that entirety tonight, so I just put one little excerpt up here so that you know what it looks like, and you know it's all in the back. I doubt you can read that, but the couple cells that are highlighted are a sum of all your expenses for the unit processes over the last 10 years, and that's about $1.4 million is what you've spent to maintain your plant in a similar type maintenance strategy, which is basically what we've employed and what we've presented here. The next columns are years 2010 through 2014, and you can see line item, it's a summary of all, summary of all the expenses that have summed up through our equipment by equipment analysis. So you can see in year 2010, there's 300,000. Year 2011, there's 668,000 and so on, for a total over the next 5 years of about 1.3 million. And you say, well, we only spent 1.4 million over 10 years. Why are we going to spend 1.3 over 5? Well, there's a couple highlighted items in there that we'll go through, and those are those big ticket items that Bruce has done all he can to limp these pieces of equipment along. But our feeling is in the next 5 years, you're going to need to do something. You may have to move that up to the front of your upgrade project. Let's see, as Bruce mentioned, I can have a hard time reading that, but some of all the items of the 1.3 million, less than $5,000 items is about $300,000. And looking year, grinding machines. That, as I'll mention in the next slide, would be one of the things that we would maybe not try to do with Bruce's crew, but as you bring on a design consultant and get the design of the upgrade started, you really consider moving that forward. Two of the other major maintenance expenditures would be under the effluent disposal. The first one is an inspection of your ocean outfall, and that would be a video inspection, and we budgeted, estimated about $100,000. It may be more, it may be less, depending on how detailed you want to get. And the other is repairing the chain and flights within your chlorine contact basin. A lot of the facilities in your plant, they don't have parallel processes. You can't take one off, fix it, and while the other one's down so you can fix it. You only have one process train. So if that fails, you have to take some extreme measures to work around and fix it so you can get it back online. A lot of times, especially this particular case, you would have most likely have a permit violation, and Bruce would be running around like crazy trying to get this piece of equipment fixed and back online. So we budgeted $100,000 for that as well. I think it was in year 3 or 4. That's one of those things that you go out there and you say, it looks like it's working great, and the next minute, it's a weekend, Saturday night, and Bruce gets a call, hey, we got a problem. So of those three items, there's $700,000 of the 1.3. Now you're down to a more reasonable, about the same spending rate you were at for the last 10 years. So with that, some concluding recommendations would be take this worksheet that we, this tool that we created, continue to evaluate and update it and use it as a tool. as I mentioned, consider fast-tracking some of those larger capital equipment expenses in your design process. And then really over the next 5 years, start studying your transition and your expenses for not only repairing the existing plant for the next 5 years, but...
Let me in on what the process is, $100,000 worth of video inspection.
Bruce, you want to tackle that one?
Yeah, in the currently in our permit, we're required to do an outfall inspection every year. For as far as every year I know, we've done one for at least the last 20 years. We actually send a diver down, and they look at the diffuser structure, and they look at the general condition of the pipe. We have never, to my knowledge, since it was installed in 84, actually looked at the interior of the outfall. It is a mortar-lined steel pipe. It's approximately 4,400 feet long. Probably 3,500 feet of that is underwater. And we've kicked the idea around and figure that with the amount of money that we are going to be spending on the upgrade, that it's probably a good idea to look at the actual structural integrity of the pipe at this point. And the best way we can do that is to try and either video it, or we actually have talked about doing kind of a sonar at the same time, because it's going to be underwater. So you may not get a real good visibility out of it once you transition through the surf zone into the ocean portion. And the cost estimates, I actually received an estimate that's quite a bit higher than the $100,000, but I'm hoping to TV the first 800 feet of it and look at that for probably $1,000, $1,500, and then come back and try and devise a strategy for viewing the rest of it. But I think it would be money well spent to ensure that we don't have issues with the outfall, especially after we upgrade the plant. It would be a shame to put all that money into the plant and find out the outfall's not working.
That presumes then that the disposal of water in the new plant will be to the ocean. Is that a critical component of the new plant upgrade as opposed to alternative? Are there other alternatives to?
Well, I think at the current time,
getting rid of the treated water.
The facility's master plan calls for a tertiary treated discharge to the ocean. That was the adopted policy, and I don't know that.
Looking through that section, at that point, would you potentially assume that the rest of the line is going to be about the same, or because it's further out into the ocean and therefore more exposed, could we potentially see some really significant differences out there and therefore be worthwhile to continue on?
My strategy at this point is to TV the first portion using conventional sewer technology, get as far out as we can, and get that video, have our engineering staff look at it, sit down and kind of make a recommendation, talk to the folks I've been talking to, and then see where we go from there. But it may very well be that we want to continue that inspection just to ensure that we have a good infrastructure there.
Is there any benefit derived from performing an exterior and interior inspection simultaneously? Because I know we do it annually, and then on the inside we've never done it. So is there any benefit to doing those simultaneously?
The only thing I could see is if it was the same people doing it, you may get some economy of having them there only once rather than twice. But there's, you know, knowing what's going on in the inside at the exact same time as the outside, I don't see it as being that critical.
And the other comment I'd make is that when you see video of the outfall, the diffuser structure is somewhat exposed. You can see the diffuser sticking out from each side of the pipe, and as it transitions towards shore, it tends to dive, it's covered in sand. So really you're going to have unless you go out there and actually expose the pipe, You would literally have to physically remove the sand over the top of the pipe to see the majority of the pipe as it goes through the surf zone. you can see about 200 feet of pipe at the very end right now. So I think our best bet at this point is to start with the interior and then work our way back from there.
And where the end is, it's about 60 feet of water, is that right?
Yeah, 50 feet of water.
Any other questions? Larry, I'm going to point out something here. I think that prior to this, we had not considered the fact that some of these items that we might want to replace might be a part of the new plant. That kind of confuses a lot of what might happen in the other items part of the potentially part of the new plant. And I'd like to have you address just the concept of building part of the new plant as we go through the next 5 years.
Just look at my summary of expenses for 2010. I think we were pretty careful not to recommend a large expenditure in the first year that would be discarded in 5 years, to answer that question. There are a couple critical pieces that are expensive, and that was the grinding machine. I think it was a $20,000 line item. But it's so critical to the process, and there's so much maintenance required on an annual basis. Whether it's a new one now or a new one in 5 years, you're always going to have a lot of maintenance at the headworks of your plant. So may or may not be here. It may not be a part of the final design, but it's an expense that you need to incur, and you'll always incur whether it's this one or a new one in 5 years. You're going to have a lot of maintenance at the headworks of your plant. I don't know if you want to comment on that, Bruce, but...
Can I do a follow-up question? Is any of this equipment recyclable? In other words, when we've got our new plant online, are there other plants that might be able to use some of this equipment themselves that we could sell?
The majority of the equipment that we replace, pumps, blowers, some of the pumps we rebuild. The trend is more towards, instead of buying a new one, we rebuild it, because you can restore a lot of the efficiency that way. The majority of the equipment that we will have at the end of this 5 years, the junk guy's going to want, but nobody else is going to want to touch.
Well,
it will be at the end of its useful life.
If it's a big ticket item that fails and it's usually got a 10 or 12 year life and we're only going to have it online for 3 or 4, is there a possibility of that, recouping some of that money or not?
Well, the big ticket item like the grinding unit and the screening device, really I've been pushing to defer that until somebody in the design team says, hey, you can reuse this. Mm-hmm. So that it's one of those things that you're phasing in the new plant piece by piece a little bit in the sense that we can reuse those big ticket items. And we'll try and minimize major repairs to items that we're not going to use, but repair costs to make it work, but still give the public and regional board the confidence that the plant can continue to operate at a high level.
And
does
for
that
those,
answer your question?
And for those facilities that will... You actually will be rehabbing as part of the upgrade project. For example, the process train you have now is oxidation ditch, which can be built, independently without a lot of disruption. But when you get into the headworks or the outfall at effluent disposal, it's going to be tricky, where you're going to have to build a parallel train and then, transition one new one in while you're rehabbing the old one. It's a tricky process. It's almost an ongoing process in all treatment plants. You're constantly, seems like you're playing this checkers game, constantly rebuilding, meeting compliance, new regulations come out, you build a new process, and you just kind of, the key is always have redundancy in your plant so that you can take things down, bring things on, and that's the unfortunate part of the current plan is there's not a lot of redundancy, so...
Okay, so if we actually did all of these, if this occurs the way you've laid it out, you're saying that we would spend about $1.5 million in the next 5 years.
Correct.
So ideally, we would be able to subtract that $1.5 million, or at least some of it, from the cost of building our new plant.
I would say half of it.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Bruce, do you have any other final comments?
Yeah, just on your comment. You know, as we go through each year, similar to how we started out with Table 7 from the Boyle Report, the first couple years are easier to identify because, you know, our crystal ball is a little closer and we're already anticipating some of those repairs. You may see when we come back with a budget next time that we didn't include an item that was listed on here, and that's going to be because we said, hey, you know what, we don't think we need to replace or repair that item in this fiscal year. It's doing better than we thought. You may see another item pop up, but we can use this as kind of a budgeting tool to help the council and the board just get a better idea of what the overall potential costs are on an annual basis. So we'll keep it updated and we'll just bring it back every year.
All right, and then I just wanted to confirm again that that $298,000. Okay. With that, if there are no other questions, Larry, thank you very much. I was very impressed by what you've done here. I think it really will help us get through the next 5 years.
And I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
As a token of our appreciation, we'd like to give you 2 free passes to Waterfest for you and your crew.
Okay, item B2. I'm told that's a verbal report. Susan, is that yours?
Yes, it is. Good evening, council members and district members. The item that Cayucas has put on the agenda has to do with a status of analysis of statement of net assets for the fiscal year 2006-2007 relating to cash and cash equivalents. We have been pulling the information together in our office. We've had to request documents from our storage facility, and we're getting the boxes over, discovering that they haven't been labeled as well as we had hoped they would have been. And so it's been a little more tedious process than we thought it would be. Joyce has been working on it diligently, but we had one of our staff members that was out for the majority of, or a good part of April, and so it really has delayed the process. But we are continuing to work on it, so we do not have anything to report tonight.
Thank you. Are you also going to do item B3?
Yes.
Status report on the audit?
That is mine as well.
While you're there.
The report on the audit, we took the paperwork over to the auditor yesterday. We were going to do it sooner because we had thought the city audit would be done earlier, but we ran into some delays on the city audit related to our schedule of federal financial assistance. So the city auditor is not coming out until next week, and we felt that it would be prudent to get all of the information to Bob Crosby so that he could begin on the audit. And, you know, like I said, normally we would wait until the city audit was done, but we felt
review of it. It looks like everything's in line except for some supplies and services with the percentages, you know, that were in the budget. The chemicals actually went over because the cost of the fuel costs to process the chemicals as well as the shipping costs increased it just a few $1,000s, $6,000, and then some lab costs that we had to that weren't capitalized but brought in there. Also increased the budget over that, so it went up to 87% instead of 75%. And that's being addressed in the proposed budget next year, so those costs are all in there. So I recommend approval of the invoice.
All right. Cayucas, does anyone have any other questions regarding the budget, the invoice?
I just wanted to ask about the increase in the insurance, earthquake and flood insurance, $72,000 increase.
It actually is a carry forward from prior years. An analysis was done. A static figure was going forward for several years of $108,000. And when it was analyzed again, we went to true costs and it was allocated. They've provided us a spreadsheet of those allocations by year.
Okay, so we just under budgeted in previous
years. Yeah, in the previous year. It was later discovered, so okay. That's exactly what occurred. Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, a motion would be in order to approve the payment of the invoice.
I so move that we approve the payment.
A second.
Motion and a second. Any other questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Lewis, for your little report. Next item, proposed budget for the treatment plant for next year. Mayor Peters, would you like to start with Morro Bay questions?
Susan, did you have a presentation on it? Or okay. Any questions on the budget? No? Okay. We're good.
And I understand that Morro Bay has approved this at their meeting, so we're stuck with exactly the same. All right. Lewis, would you care to comment again?
I took a look at all the categories. Pretty much personnel stand flat. The supplies, they went up again because of the chemical costs that we mentioned before. But the services have increased a couple hundred thousand in that, and that's because of the study and those
included. And $28,500 in the
budget? Yeah, that's in the spreadsheet I provided you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's basically it's all wastewater treatment plant.
So that's part of the upgrade?
The upgrade, wastewater treatment plant upgrade. Yes, that's correct. So that, you know, a million of that's in the design group and $55,000 is the remainder of the EIR report. And so all those pieces are just scheduled in that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I have one simple question. Probably Bruce can answer this. I'm looking at last year's budget under item number 7102. Buildings and structures, and it looks like, if I'm not mistaken, we had budgeted $379,000, of which we spent zero. Is that correct? Susan, maybe you can help me with that.
Which line item was that?
7102. Actually, I'm reading it from the item C1.
It may have been something that we capitalized. And when we capitalize it with an enterprise fund, you remove the expenditure out of the enterprise fund line item and you move it up into the asset category. I don't know for sure if that's what happened. Bruce would likely know what he spent it on, and if it was a building or something that he actually built and it was a capital item, that would account for the fact that it's showing at zero, even though we did incur an expenditure. But I would have to research it to make sure that was what was going on.
Okay. My concern was, did we do it? If we did not, then do we need to do it this coming year? And you've got under the 2009 budget, you're saying the amended budget in 2009 was $4,000 in that category. So I was kind of confused about where that money went or whether we did the work. Do you know, Bruce?
I'm looking at the actual expenses spreadsheet.
Yes.
And under 7102 building structures,
yes,
we had $4,000 in that line item.
Yes.
And then on the next page, those line items are capital, but the boiler work and the pump work, which is probably $115,000, was not a capital. It wasn't capitalized, I think, is what Lewis was saying. It's actually expensed out of the O&M budget per the instructions from the auditor. Does that make sense to you?
I'm okay, except I'm looking at 7102, not 7302, but I think you can probably answer this after the meeting, so we'll just wait. Any other questions from Cayucas? If not, a motion would be in order to approve the budget for 2009-2010.
Before you do that, can I ask one question?
Yes.
Everything that we discussed earlier with the under item B1 with the Cannon report is included in this budget. If we want to include any interim flood measures, I had put $25,000 into the Cannon study that is not in this budget, reflected in this budget. So if we need to do something in terms of flood, we can either research that and come back at the next meeting and say, hey, this is what we think it's going to cost, and we can amend the budget at that time, or you could allocate the funds. But there is no money in this budget for interim flood proofing at the treatment plant.
I would be happy to include that somewhere, Bruce. I know you mentioned that once that it's pointed out that it could flood, that we have some obligation to do something about it. How complicated is that going to make things if we want to add that $25,000? Can that go back to Morro Bay for approval at the additional $25,000 at the next city council meeting?
Yes, that's something that we could do. We could take it to our June 26th meeting.
Okay, just to update then what our budget would be.
Yes.
Where would that go? In what category would we put that other $25,000?
Down in one of the capital costs, probably. We're building equipment. I don't know the exact line.
Probably
item number on that, but it
probably
would be
7102.
Likely, yes.
Well, you know what? Just to make it easier so that we don't come back and have all these line items contradictory, you might be.
And that the recommendation is 5,000.
Oh, then, okay, I'm sorry. Then you'd bump it up to 30,000.
All right, okay. I just wanted to be sure we had the right number. Okay, then I would recommend that Cayucas make a motion to approve the budget with the addition of $25,000 to item 6602, outside structural, making that $30,000 instead of $5,000.
I so move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Morro Bay.
Can we go ahead and just approve that addition right now? Just on that line item?
Just on that line.
Yeah, okay. So I'll entertain a motion adding that to 6602. Okay. All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
Thank you. I'd like to comment that this was one of the easier budget things that we've done. Thank you, Lewis. Thank you, Susan, and Bruce, Cannon, everybody that really helped out on this. I think it made it go a lot smoother. And finally, item C3, discussion consideration to amend the JPA. Susan, to make this very short for you, I've had a discussion with the mayor and our council, and the consensus is that, and I'll again ask my board right now, that if you'll just send us a bill quarterly, we'll see that it gets paid.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, I just would like to have a consensus from the Cayucas board that it's the intent of the JPA to pay quarterly, and I think that what's happened in the past, and for example, last year when this came up, our September meeting was on the 4th, which means it was just prior to the end of the September 30th quarter. We skipped a meeting in December, and sure enough, by March, it's 9 months behind. So I think this will make it a lot easier. So thank you, Tim, for your input. So if there are no objections, that's what we'll do. Okay, having said that, so I'd like to have that technical subcommittee take a look at some of those concepts. If anybody else has something they'd like to add to that technical subcommittee meeting, now would be a good time to mention it.
Well, I think one of the things we talked about was formalizing the whole idea of the invoice, so we can talk about that too.
We can do that.
Subcommittee meeting, yeah.
So as soon as we'll just ask staff to coordinate a time to do that, and then we'll wait for a word from Bruce Ambo that he's feeling up to par and has had a chance to review this. Thanks again, Rick, for your comments. And our next regular meeting should be about the time that Bruce has the RFQ out or has narrowed down the field so that we would have a report regarding the status of the RFQ. Bruce, do you have an idea when that might be?
I would say late summer is what I'm thinking.
So normally we would try to have a meeting in September. So that would work out.
Yeah, the question is, do we need to bring the RFQ back after all the staffs have seen it and given it the stamp of approval before we put it out, or do we bring it back for award after we put out the proposal?
Mr. Carmel or Mr. Schultz?
That's certainly at your direction. I mean, we certainly, if you have comfortable with staff doing that RFQ and getting it out, as soon as possible, we can do that. But if you want to give it your stamp of approval in Morro Bay, we've done it both ways, really depending on the subject and the complications, you know, in the document. And that's how we've handled it.
Mr. Carmel?
There's no legal requirement that the board see or approve the RFQ, so it's a pure policy decision by the board and the council.
Okay. I personally would just like to be updated and I'm happy to just hear from Bruce or Bill, our manager. So if that works for Morro Bay.
That's it. And if it all looks fine, we go for it. Sound good?
Excellent suggestion.
Okay.
Okay, so do we want to set a meeting date for September at this time?
Why not?
Anytime.
10th of September?
Calendar. Janice, Mayor Peters has suggested the 10th.
That's a Thursday.
Thursday?
The 10th of September.
Looks good for Cayucas.
Right over here. Okay, I'm getting a lot of nodding, so I guess that's it.
Let's schedule that for September 10th then, and we'll look forward to the technical subcommittee meeting as soon as possible.
Right.
Any other questions? If not, the meeting's adjourned.
That's record.
Thank